God is a God of new beginnings. He's the God of the daily bread. That means right now bread. Right now. Right now. He is the satisfier of my soul. Only He can satisfy my soul. Only He can make that crooked place straight in your life. God has all power, all wisdom, all ability. There's nothing He cannot do. Hallelujah. I just need to get out of the way. You know, you ever heard the word, you know, sometimes you get in the way? Well, actually, we need to get in the way with Jesus, right? Just get in the way with Him. In the way, right? Get it? With Jesus. He's going somewhere. He's taking us somewhere. But we have to let all of our idols, all of our ideas, all of our things that we think are important to us, let them go and let God change even our desires so that now His will becomes my desire. My pleasure is to do the will of the Father. Jesus said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants His people to be free. Jesus went to the cross, shed His blood, to set every prisoner free. And whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Now you can let that adversary talk to you, whisper in your ear, tell you all kinds of stuff. But we have to believe and receive only what the Lord is saying. And that is, I'm free. Hallelujah. If my heart is condemning me, God is greater than my heart. Amen. And my confidence, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's not of me. It's not because of me. Mercy is you and I not getting what we really deserve. Amen. Grace is God giving us also what we don't deserve. You get that? Mercy is not getting what we deserve, but grace is God giving us also what we don't deserve. And that's what it's about. It's all about abiding in the grace of God. And that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but it does mean that His grace will sustain us. And all of us can agree that there's been times in our life where we've really wondered if God was going to come through. And sometimes, you know, the Lord will just interrupt our plans. And He may drop in an instruction and says, I want you to do this. And sometimes that may not even make sense to us. But we've got to not navigate by our own understanding, but by the will of God. And do what God tells us to do, even if it doesn't seem to make sense. And sometimes there's one part of me even saying, I really don't want to go to church today because I'm tired. I'm not feeling all that good. You know, even this morning, I knew God was going to do something amazing. And He hasn't finished yet. He's still going to do some work in all of us. Amen. And I'm a piece of work just like you are. So God's working in us. He's not through. But this morning I felt like doo-doo. I didn't feel good. I woke up kind of like, I'm like, and usually it, you know, that doesn't happen. But this morning, and I'm thinking, wow. I mean, I was really like not feeling good. And I'm thinking, oh man, God, are you going to set me aside this morning? Or am I going to have to call somebody to fill in or what's going on? But you know, I was just telling her, hey, Suka, honey, I'm not feeling very good today. So she comes over and lays those little anointed hands, you know, on me. And isn't that amazing? And God will sometimes ask us to have somebody else pray for us, you know. Or somebody else, we need to talk to somebody sometimes. It's okay. We just need to be teachable and open and willing to receive instruction. God is patient with us. He's long-suffering, the Bible says. But as it was in the days of Noah, the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. So God does have a limit, doesn't He? I want to just read to you a scripture, and I'm going to read it from, I think it's the New King James. Not everyone who calls out to me, this is New Living Translation actually, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. King James says those who practice lawlessness, you know. So that is in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Now, I have many times, and I'm sure many of you have as well, question, does Jesus know me? Now, obviously, God knows all people. Amen? He knows who you are. But when he says, I never knew you, it means that we really never had a true relationship with him. See, a lot of people are always learning about God, learning about Jesus, even doing church things. There's people that are very heavily involved in church activity and doing these things for God, but actually never walking with God because they don't really know God. They just are trying to somehow appease God or do something that will please God so somehow God will like them more and hopefully accept them. But actually, Jesus didn't come just so that we would work for him. But he came to bring us into life, into new life. He came that to change us, to transform us into a new creation, to become a child of his. And those who have his spirit in them are his people. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to him. So we must be born of God. You must have the Spirit of Christ. You see, some people have a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of Christ. Some people have an artificial or counterfeit spirit that mimics and impersonates the Holy Spirit. But God's Spirit is the Spirit of love. He's the Spirit of truth. Amen? And Amen. You gotta have the right Jesus. There are many Jesuses being presented today, but you've got to have the right Jesus in order to be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am what the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, right, or through me. He says, I am that only door, that only way. And so we need to make sure that we are understanding who God really is and calling on the right Jesus. You see, sometimes we want to fashion God to fit us. And so we create an idol in our hearts or in our imaginations that suits what we expect God to be. Rather than us accepting who God is, who does not change, we want to adjust God to fit us. So we create a God of our own choosing. We have a different Jesus, and that different Jesus cannot save. As a matter of fact, the grace that I give myself doesn't save. I can either justify myself or condemn myself by what I do, but that doesn't change anything. It doesn't save me. Amen? It's only the grace of God that saves. It's only by his grace that we're saved. So I need to know the right name, the right voice, the right Jesus. Amen? And I need to be right in right standing with him. Amen. So that he doesn't look at me in that day and say, who are you? Because these are people who had been involved in Pentecostal ministry he's talking to here, or at least in appearance. And I want to read from Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 today. This is really the foundation of the message, and it's called Hold Fast What You Have. Hold Fast What You Have. This is the church of Philadelphia, which means brotherly love or love for the brethren. This was a church that had a lot of philo love. Philo is the fellowship love. They were together. They liked each other. They loved each other. They had great fellowship together. And really, for the most part, this church was doing everything right. Jesus had instructions for all the seven churches at that time. And he brought praise, but he also brought correction. Because those who the Lord loves, he corrects. Amen? So he says in verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who overcomes, I will what? Make him a pillar. Now, when I read this, I'm thinking, man, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be some kind of pillar. You're thinking about a building that, you know, has these pillars, and I'm thinking, man, is that going to be my eternal existence? I'm just going to be some kind of pillar in a building? But how many know that God's speaking more than just a literal pillar? He's speaking symbolically here, right? Metaphorically, whatever. He's saying that I'm going to make you steadfast, immovable. I'm going to make you beautiful. How many know that they make pillars beautiful, right? They do a lot of artwork on pillars. Amen. And it speaks of strength and honor. You know, we look at our state capitol building, or if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., and you look at those tremendous buildings, you know, and the pillars are just majestic. They're beautiful, you know, and they're strong. God says, he who overcomes, I will make a strong, steadfast, beautiful, amen, individual who will remain or abide forever. Okay, but before he says that, he says, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Well, the Bible talks about the victor's crown that is appointed for all believers, as we are likened to the Olympians, right, that are in a race for the finish line, and whoever competes and wins, amen, gets the crown. That would be a perishable crown, but we are to be receiving an eternal crown. Now, the Lord crowns his people with his presence, with his anointing. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. I believe that this is referring also, hear me now, to the investment of God in your life, and that it is something that you need to guard jealously. You need to be very careful that you don't compromise God's investment in you. Be very careful that you are utilizing the investment of God wisely. Amen. And not just receiving it for yourself, but what I receive from the Lord, amen, is to benefit the body of Christ. You see, a lot of times we just make it about us, but it's really about you and others and me after that. That's God's way. So those who overcome are going to be given this place of beauty and of honor, of permanent security. Permanent security in the presence of the Lord. Now, Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. He's speaking to his people. Each one of us have received, if you're in Christ today, you've received grace. You've received a gift from God. Amen? According to Christ's measure. In other words, the Lord determines how much and what. Sometimes we look at others and say, I wish I had what they had. Let's just discover what we have and let's be faithful with what we have. Because if you're faithful with what you have been given already, God can make you ruler of much. God can increase that, but we have to be faithful in what we already have. Discover what is in your hand right now and start using it. Can you pray? Yeah, I can pray. Can I pray for others? Yeah, I can pray for others. Can I tell people my testimony? I may not be a preacher, but I can tell people what Jesus did for me. Yeah, I can do that. I can lay hands on people and believe God to heal them. Amen. Can I speak with tongues? Yeah, I can speak with tongues. as the Spirit gives utterance, amen? So God is telling his people, I want you to be faithful with the investment I've made in you. Because God doesn't give us anything for nothing, right? It's not just so we can go around and be a parade soldier and say, look how pretty my uniform is. Man, God needs some warriors, man. He needs some people that can get in the trenches, right, and deal with the enemy. So if we're negligent or if we're unfaithful, you know, in our God-appointed duties, we can lose the anointing. I believe that. And the glory which we might have obtained if we had been faithful to God. And the reason why I say that is because we look back at the patterns and the types and the shadows of the Old Testament, and we can see how God deals with people, which is a type or shadow of the fulfillment which is today in the New Testament, which is Christ in you and the purpose of God for your life. So we can learn from the past. These things had been written down for our admonition today. And the Old Testament is very relevant today. In Matthew 25:29, Jesus says, "For everyone, to everyone who has, more will be given. To everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Be on guard that no man takes your crown. Do you understand? God graces us with his holy things. Amen? His holy investment, his holy, if you will, his money, that we would go and we would trade with it. That means the gift of God in us. Amen? And so to those who have been faithful, more will be given. But to those who do not have, in other words, those who have been like the lazy and fearful servant that buried his master's gift, what he had will be taken from him and given to those who have 10. Those who have been faithful will increase. Those who are unfaithful can lose what they have. Now, God is the God of new beginnings. Today, God has a provision for you. He has daily bread for you. And when we get off track, he doesn't kick us to the curb. He just says, get back on track. Get reorientated again. Let me recalibrate your life to your original purpose. Return and do the first works. Come back to that first love and rediscover what it is that we had together and what we were doing together and working together. Amen? And do those things again. Rediscover, in other words, your purpose. And if you've been lax, you've been kind of complacent lately, maybe you haven't been doing much of anything except just kind of existing from day to day. Well, God says it's time to get back to that place where you once were. Matthew 25:28, this is what the Lord said to the unfaithful servant. He said, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now, who's speaking here? That's Jesus. You know, my opinion really doesn't matter. It's what he says. He's God. He's the truth. And you know, wherever, I'm going to speak to about myself today. Wherever there's disobedience in my life, there's pride. Wherever you are disobedient in your life, it's because of pride. Pride is selfishness. The root of all sin is self or selfishness. And so Jesus lived a completely unselfish life. If he had been selfish, he would have not obeyed the Father. He would have not have been sinless, and he could not have been our sacrifice. And we would still be in our sins. But Jesus had to deny himself. And he had to set his agenda aside so that he might do the will of the Father. Likewise, as Jesus had gone away, he commissioned us to learn, amen, and to pass on the traditions even that he had taught his apostles in the beginning. That we're to do the works that Jesus did. And we're to be faithful with the gift of God and trade with it, amen, and produce fruit. And just because we're not seeing anything right away doesn't mean that it's not in the works already. You don't plant a seed and expect it to immediately sprout up, right? But you plant seed in hope and you wait. And some seeds take a long time. But if you are faithful with the investment of God and the instruction that God gave you, He always comes through. It's just who He is. So whenever there's disobedience in my life, it means I'm being prideful. And yet God will not give His grace to the proud. You know, there's mighty men and women of God who had a tremendous ministry at one time. And then they started out little in their own eyes, and then they got big, and they got popular, and they got big-headed. And then God could no longer use them. Come on, somebody. We come to God as a nobody, broken, busted, disgusted. God does a work, a transformation in our hearts and our lives. He gives us some gifts. We start to use them. We start to see results. And the enemy comes along and says, it's because you're so great and you're so spiritual. And if we're listening to the wrong voice, we'll get proud and we'll think we're a little bit better than everybody else. Come on, somebody. And we think we can just do whatever we want and God's going to wink at it. No big deal. We become vain. And we become proud, and when we're proud, God can no longer pour out His holy oil on our lives. Why? Because we can't be trusted. A proud servant cannot be trusted. A proud servant will usurp his master's authority. A proud servant will undermine his master behind his back. You know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. But a humble servant is one who reverences, who takes their master seriously. Are you hearing me today? Let's just say in modern terms, our employer. Now, we don't always like what our employer is doing, but he's still the boss. And that is not anything we had to do with. Can you say amen to that? God can trust those who are little in their own eyes. So beware of pride. 1 Samuel 15, verse 17. This is about King Saul. Most of us are familiar with this. The prophet Samuel was sent to him to rebuke him because of his arrogance. Saul had begun small, little in his own eyes, humble, yielded, obedient. You see, when we're humble, we're obedient. When we're proud, we're disobedient. When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? He began well. He was actually the one that God called and anointed to be king of Israel. And then, somewhere along the way, Saul started to esteem the opinions of men greater than the will of God. He began to fear people, and he esteemed the praises of men as greater than that of God. And he began to compromise to please people, to appease people. And God could no longer trust him because he had taken the holy things, the investment of God, and he had squandered it. He used it for selfish gain. How many know that there are people that are asking God for the anointing because they want to make themselves look good? Because they want to be powerful. Do you understand? God doesn't work that way. The devil works that way. You'll find in the occult and witchcraft, it's arrogance, it's pride. It's the exaltation of mankind, not the exaltation of God. But God gives His grace to the humble. And His grace will remain on the humble. Do you understand? We cannot produce fruit except that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And humble means strength under control. In other words, when I receive a gift from God, I have been given the liberty to do whatever I want with that gift. But if I'm humble, I will submit that to God's authority and allow God to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing with that gift. Amen? And it is always for His glory and not my own. You see, some people, they get blessed of God. They came from nothing. They get blessed of God. And God exalts them and God gives them a ministry and they get proud. And we've seen it. We've even seen it on a big scale. Amen. Where all of a sudden they got proud and now God can't trust them any longer. And the next thing you know, the devil sets a trap for them and he takes them out. And you know what? God says, be careful that no man takes your crown. You can lose your crown. Saul began well, but he ended poorly. You know why? Because he lightly esteemed the word of God. Before, he used to tremble at the word. He'd hear the word of God and he would tremble at it and he took it seriously and he would move when the Spirit of God was dealing with him or speaking to him. He would move with that because he was humble before God and he knew that God was an almighty God. Amen. He had the fear of God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And he took God seriously. And then he got to a place where God became buddy and became common. And oh, no big deal. I'll do with it whatever I want to do. Well, God gave you the liberty to trade with your gift. Amen. But how many know that God wants us to trust him with his investment? Amen. And to invest it where he tells us to invest it. Because sometimes we're just spending ourselves on something that's not going to bear any fruit. Only the will of God abides forever. And so the prophet told King Saul, Samuel said, for rebellion, 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Here's pride, folks. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. In other words, he put the people's opinions before the will of God. And as a result, he lost what he had. His reputation was more important to him than the will of God. His pride got him in trouble. How many know that sometimes we're tempted? Sometimes the temptations are pretty tough. And the pressure can be pretty great to conform, you know, to whatever is popular, what the crowd is doing, or what people think. We have to be very careful because we need to guard our crown. Amen. We don't want to lose what God has entrusted to us. We want to finish well. Amen. Everybody here want to finish well, right? Hear Jesus say, well done. Hallelujah. And so, in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 25, now therefore, he says, please pardon my sin. And he's talking to Samuel the prophet. And he says, in return with me, that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you. In other words, it was too late. He says, for you rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine? He had a repentant attitude. He wanted to make it right. But it was too late. And God says, I've rejected you. He partially obeyed the Lord. But he was unwilling to fully obey the word of the Lord because he feared the people more than he did God. And as a result, God says, I'm going to choose somebody else. And you know who he chose. He chose David to take his place because God saw in David a man after his own heart. Why was David a man after his own heart? Because he was willing to do all of his will. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Do you see it there? A humble servant doesn't strike bargain. He doesn't, you know, pick and choose. He doesn't when he feels like it. A servant is spot on. A good servant, amen. A good employee is if the boss asks me to do something, I say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, and I get to work and I do it. Amen. I don't mess around. I don't do partial job. Amen. I do my best. Amen. And in doing so, I get the attention of my employer, don't I? And he's saying, you know what? I know that when I'm away, I can trust Susan. When I'm away, I can trust Dave because I know that he's going to be the same when I'm there. He's going to be the same when I'm away. He's not going to be one way when he's around me and another way when he's not. He's not going to be one way publicly or in church in another way when he's not. He's going to be consistent. I can trust him even in secret. Oh, here we are on the internet and this thing just pops up. Well, nobody's going to. Oh, yes, somebody's going to know. God is watching. The books are being written. The record is there. It's time to repent. You better understand. You better fear the Lord because there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow to Him. There's going to be time to confess now or it's going to catch up to you later. Today, hallelujah, you can confess and renounce it now. You can get it right now. Or if you can put it off and put it off, and who knows if you ever have an opportunity to get it right later. And someday, guess what? We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see the King. And He knows all. He sees all. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to make sure that there's nothing in me. I want to make sure that Jesus knows who I am. Because I've been walking with Him. I'll have confidence in judgment because as He was in this world, so am I. I live like Jesus. Amen. It doesn't always mean it's going to be easy or fun, but it does mean it's going to be worth it someday. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Esau was another one, the son of Isaac. It was Jacob's brother. But God considered him to be profane because he lightly esteemed the things of God. In other words, Esau had no appreciation for things that were of more value, which such as his birthright. He was willing to barter with his birthright for momentary gratification. Do you understand how we are tempted, aren't we, to compromise eternal things, amen, for temporary gratification? But you understand you only have so many days on this earth. And so now is the time for us to behave ourselves, to submit ourselves, to humble ourselves, and to be faithful to the faithful one because he wants to share his kingdom with us and he wants us to have an abundant welcome into his kingdom. Amen. He wants to say to you and I in that day, well done. Amen. I knew I could trust you. I could trust you publicly. I could trust you privately. And I knew I could trust you publicly because you and I had a relationship privately. We had a private ministry together and therefore you could have a public ministry that would bear fruit. You weren't just one way in front of the people and another way when you weren't. You were a faithful, humble servant and you feared me. In other words, you respected me as your father. Understand? I respected my dad growing up. I didn't always like him. I didn't always believe, I didn't even know why at the time, but I did respect my dad. And I did want to please my dad. Whoever the authorities are in your life, as we respect the people God puts in charge of us, we're respecting Him who called them to do that, to be in that place. Do you get it? Esau. He squandered what he had. He bartered it for that momentary bowl of lentil stew. In other words, a happy meal. Comfort food. But then it says later, Esau was remorseful at the loss of his oldest son's double portion. See, the oldest son in the culture would get the double portion of the inheritance from the father. And he was remorseful. But guess what? By then it was too late. You want to know why? Because Isaac could not reverse the blessing once he had given it. How many know that oaths are binding in heaven? It couldn't be reversed. And so he had blessed Isaac. Amen? Or Jacob. And it was too late. I get those mixed up. But it was too late then for Esau to get back what he gave basically over to his brother. Are you hearing this today? We need to really take a look at our lives. What are we doing with our days? What are we doing with God's investment? Am I being faithful to God? Am I the same person when people are looking as I am when people aren't looking? Do I understand that wherever I am, whatever I find myself doing, the Lord is there? Whenever you're having conversation, and maybe you like to gossip, guess what? The Lord is a silent listener in every conversation. Mm-hmm. And be very careful what you say about his kids. Amen? Because he's a good father, and he's a protective father. And if I attack you, and I come against you, I better be very careful because it's like attacking father. I need to put a guard on my lips, don't I? You know, when we look at the word, we all need to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? How does this apply to me? Not, God, I thank you that so-and-so was here to hear that word. Or, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like these other people. God says there's no grace there. That's arrogance. You humble yourself and you'll get mercy. You come to the place where, like Saul, when he was little, in his own eyes, he was king over Israel. God could trust him. You hear me today? We've got to remain little in our own eyes. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. It doesn't mean that we're weaklings. We're supposed to be mighty in spirit. But we are to be poor in spirit and realizing that what I need, I don't have. Except through his grace, through his ability, through his strength, I can do all things. So I'm not trusting in my righteousness, in my goodness, in my holiness. I'm trusting in his. Amen. Only in Christ am I righteous. Only in Christ am I holy. And I'm only going to receive that righteousness through humility, humbling myself, acknowledging that, God, I don't have what it takes. I'm not all that. And then God says, you know, here's somebody I can trust. Here's somebody that I can pour out my spirit on. Here's somebody, you know, that's been faithful with the gift, and I'm going to increase my gift in their life. Hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown. I looked up that word profane. And really what it's talking about is it's a threshold. You ever heard the expression, you've stepped over the line? You stepped over the line. You stepped over that threshold. A profane person is someone who has no real value or regard for spiritual values. In other words, carnal, temporal things are esteemed higher in their estimation than the eternal things of God. That was Esau's problem. He was willing to squander that which was of greater value for something temporary that would fill his lustly desires, you see, his fleshly desires. That's why we need to be very careful what we do in our flesh, isn't that right? It means one who steps over the threshold, heathenish or wicked. A wicked person. In Hebrews 3:12 it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. A profane person is a person who has stepped over the line and can no longer be renewed to repentance or restored. Do you understand? In the days of Noah, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God had an appointed time in which he was going to judge the world, and he had called Noah, and Noah and his family got busy because they took God seriously. They were humble. Noah found grace because he was a humble man. And they got busy building the ark. They got busy in the work of God. Are you hearing me? Obedience to the voice of God. And then the day came when all those who had refused to bow their knee to God and obey the voice of God were beginning to stand and knock on that ark. And it was too late because God himself had sealed it. And it was too late. It was no room or no place for repentance then. Do you understand today? If you're here, there's still opportunity for you to repent. Amen? God drew you here today. God put it in your heart to come here today. But God is saying that in the time that I call you, in the acceptable time, amen, that I call you and I summon you, it's time for you to say yes to the King. You don't bebop when you feel like it. You come when you're being drawn and you're being called. Are you being called today? Is God drawing you to draw near to Him? Then listen to His voice. Humble yourself. Lay down your agenda and say, God, whatever it is you want, that's what I want. Because what God has is superior to what we think we want. Sometimes God has to remind me of that. Sometimes I want things or I want something. But what God has is superior to what I want. See, God works in eternity, doesn't He? And He's looking at the end product. Sometimes we feel like we're just going for a wild ride on the potter's wheel. And what is happening to me, I don't know. It just seems like everything's in a whirl right now. But I know that God's doing something. And all I need to do is allow Him to apply the water of the Word, amen, to soften me up with the oil, whatever is necessary to make that clay pliable in His hands so God can make me into a vessel of honor, amen, prepare me for what He has, and then He's able to pour the precious oil of the anointing into that vessel. You get it? Because it's humble and it's yielded and it's willing to go with what God has for it. Amen. Anybody's ever worked with clay, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just get this stuff it's just not pliable. It's not wet enough. It's not soft enough. You can't do much with it. You know, you got to just break it down and start all over again. And that's what God has to do sometimes. He has to break us down, amen, so He can start all over and make something out of the mess that we've made. So, I'm almost through, guys. I mean it. I'm on the last page, actually. And then I'm going to share something with you that some of you have already seen that I believe is a word for today that will really, I believe, help kind of cap what I'm talking about and what we've been praying about for some time and even what I've been speaking from this pulpit. God confirms His word, you know, and God is speaking from heaven today. We may need to make sure that we're listening. Let me just say this. Just because someone is blessed or used of God does not necessarily mean that they're right with God. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we? Do you understand? The gifts and the callings are without repentance. There's a stewardship. There's an investment. And we're to be faithful with it. If you're faithful, you'll have more. If you're not, you can lose your crown. You can lose what you've been given. Amen? And without that, there's no crown. I don't want to lose my crown. How about you? And if you're in Christ today, God has that appointment for you. He wants to one day bless you with the crown of life. Amen? Say, well done, my good and faithful servant. God chose Saul when he was small, but He later rejected him because of his pride. And I'm going to give you one more. That was Samson. Samson was a mighty man. Amen? And he destroyed the enemies of God. But Samson got proud of his accomplishment. And he began to take it upon himself. And he began to look at himself as being something great. But God doesn't choose those who are arrogant and proud and think they're something. He chooses the despised. He chooses the little ones. He chooses the least likelies. He chooses people that no one would ever expect that they could do such things. Why? That way people know it couldn't have been them. It had to be God because I know that person. Well, people that know me before, they said, that can't be him. He never lived like that. He never talked like that. I was the kid that when they called me out in school, you know, most of the time I was daydreaming or spacing out or something. And then they'd call me and ask me, well, what do you think, Mr. Arnsmeyer? I've been summoned by the queen of the class. Why don't you come up to the board and share with us what I just shared with the classroom? You know what I'm talking about. Don't look so sanctified, right? But God takes someone that was afraid to speak up publicly. He fills them with His Holy Spirit. And He says, now you're going to be my spokesman. So if you're quiet and you're shy in here today, let Holy Spirit get a hold of you. And watch what He will do. He can take the quiet and make them noisy. But we're releasing a new sound, amen, the sound of heaven, sound of life, hallelujah. He'll take your weakness and turn it into a strength so that the evidence will be God, amen. People will see God and know it's got to be God, hallelujah. So we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Back to Samson. Samson assumed, hear me, that because he was being blessed and because he was being used of God, that somehow that meant that he was in right standing with God, and actually he was in trouble and still functioning in the anointing. He was sleeping with Delilah, you know that. He was messing around with prostitutes at the same time he was doing, if you will, ministry for God. And he assumed that it was no big deal because I still got the anointing. Yeah. I'm still kicking some serious Philistine butt here. And God had to deal with Samson because once he became proud and he became presumptuous and he thought he could do whatever he wanted to do. Because, well, God's with me. I still got the anointing. Things are still good. Things are still happening. I'm still being blessed. That all of a sudden, God had to say, I can't use him anymore. I can't use him anymore. And all of a sudden, without Samson even being aware of it, the anointing was gone. It says the presence of the Lord left him. He compromised. He told the secret, amen, to his enemy of his power. Amen. His strength was in his hair. And she cut the locks of hair. And then she said, the Philistines are upon us. And he thought he was going to rise up and shake himself as he always did. And that he was going to deal with it and take care of business. And all of a sudden, he realized, God's not with me. They took him. They plucked his eyes out. They put him on a treadmill. They mocked him. Humiliated him. That's as the devil does, you see. When we get proud, we get blind. And we think we're doing all right. And people around you realize, you know what, he's blind as a bat. But to you, you're doing okay. Everything's fine. What? You understand? Sometimes, folks, we got to be careful with the holy things of God. We need to be faithful stewards of what God has given us. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but I want an abundant welcome into heaven. Amen. Why did God give us His gifts? He gave us His gifts because He wants us to love people. He wants us to love others. He wants to take what we have and bless other people with it. Amen. Build up, edify my brother and my sister with what I've been given. Be a faithful steward with that gift. And God is going to do something amazing and miraculous through your life. Even when you not feel like it, you just do it because God gave you a stewardship. Sometimes you don't feel like going to work, but you go to work anyways, right? Because you're supposed to. It's the right thing to do. Amen? Sometimes God's going to call you to do something when you're not feeling like it. Guess what? You'll be tested that way. God wants to find out if you're user-friendly, if He can trust you. If you're unless your own pride says, I'll pick and choose when I'm going to obey God. That's pride. God says, I can't use that. You need to humble yourself. You need to lay down your agenda. You need to humble yourself before God because God can use a humble person. You want to be exalted in God's sight? Humble yourself. Yeah. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will lift you up. He will elevate you. He will make you the head and not the tail. So a crown of life is going to be given to all who have faithfully and humbly served the Lord. They have been faithful to invest their gift, amen, in others. How many are hearing this today? How many believe that God has been speaking to you today? Do you understand that when I'm up here, I'm preaching to myself too? And I want to make sure that I'm in agreement with what the Father wants, that I'm being faithful, that I'm being humble before Him, because I don't want to lose my crown. I don't want to lose what God has already given to me. As a matter of fact, I want God to increase it. Why? Because I want to bear more fruit, and it's not because I want to make a name for myself or just have a crown, because our crowns are going to be cast at the feet of Jesus anyways. Amen? It's because of the love of Christ in me that compels me to love people and to serve people. Even when sometimes we irritate one another, it doesn't matter. It's that precious person that Jesus shed His blood for, amen, that we're going to spend ourselves to help them see and understand that God has a plan and it's better than what you have for yourself. Are you willing to lay it all down at the altar? Are you willing to give God your all? Is your all in the altar of sacrifice laid? Or do we give God just our leftovers and our spare change? God says, no, I can't use you. You're proud. You're full of your own agenda. Lay it down. Be willing to go all the way with God. Amen? Because He's going somewhere and I want to be with Jesus. I don't want to be left behind. I want to partner with Jesus. I want to be like Elisha. Amen? That stayed close to Elijah. He said, you stay here. I'm going up ahead. I said, oh no, I'm going with you, Jesus. He wanted that double portion, didn't He? Hallelujah. So, guys, we're going to show a prophetic word, which I believe is a word for right now, for us. And then we're going to see what the Lord does after that. But I just want to ask you to listen to this word, okay? Because God is speaking. He's been speaking this morning through me, but He's speaking from heaven. And He's been speaking to your heart, and you've got to be willing to listen. We've got to come to the end of ourselves. And I'm just saying that before you start it, I don't know everything about this man's ministry, but what I do is I listen to what people say. And if I sense God is in it, it's okay with me. And how do I know God is in it? Because of His Spirit and because of His Word working together in me, confirming that this is a word from God. So hear it. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying.